And I hope you've had a great day so far. Amen. We want to talk about Change Starts With Me as our theme in the month of August. And I pray that you can engage into that discussion. I mean, why do you think change starts with you or with me? Yes, Tommy. The only person that can change is you. Yes. You have the ability to see the things that need to be changed. Yes. There's always room for improvement. Your hand was up. Okay. There has to be a desire to change. So here's why we want to talk about this. We are saying a lot of things in terms of building diversity as a congregation, in terms of building a one another relationships, in terms of being safe for one another, in terms of building care, help, growth, authenticity, and all that stuff. But that cannot happen if it's just a workshop or we just talk about it and you're not making any changes. This place cannot change if we continue like, well, we just preach about it, but we do nothing. You have to do something. Because where is the church? Where is the church, people? It's us. So it cannot change if only two people, three people talk about it. The whole place has to begin to make changes. And that is what I want to discuss today a little bit about why we go to this month of Change Starts With Me. You have to look at yourself and say, am I making any changes? And I want to talk about that. Proverbs 14 verse 8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Deception is real, people. What are the stories you tell yourself to deceive yourself? What are some of the stories we tell ourselves? Yes.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. We lower down. We try to say, hey, listen, other people are worse than me. Come on. Yeah. Yes. I'm okay. The standard is no longer God. It's something around. Yes. Material. I can get away with it. Yes, Kathy. If you ignore it, it'll go away. It's coming back. Yes, Alex.
If somebody starts, I'll follow.
So I'm just waiting for someone to start something. I can change it when I need to. So I don't care right now. But I'm never going to change because when I need to, when is that need to going to be?
It's not my fault anyway.
It's not my fault. It's the preacher's fault. Get him. Oh, I like this one. This is always the way it's been. Before I ask anyone else to speak, please, you got to watch out on this is the way it's always been. That's the point. That's why we must change. That's the whole point. It's always been like this. So what are we going to do different? That's the whole point. Yes. God understands. Oh, we like that one. You know, I'm just a human being. God understands. That is when you want to lower down the standards pretty good. God understands, and I'm just a human being. Now, you don't want to deal with, what is God calling me to? Anybody else? I don't need help. I can do it on my own. The church is the body of Christ. We must have relationships that are truly deep and help us to walk through things. The more you isolate, the more the devil got you. You have to connect. There was a hand somewhere here. Yes.
It's my past.
It's my past. I totally understand. In the Southwest phenomena, we all have baggage, but we arrive safely in heaven. Now, okay, we all have baggage, but after 18, we have to work on this baggage. We can't claim victim after 18. We all do. We all do have baggage. If you don't think you don't have baggage, you're in the wrong place. But stay, don't leave. Stay, we got to talk about it, okay? We all have baggage. We have to learn how to start putting that in God's hand so that we can get healed. We are saved, but we got to deal with the healing now. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's why the proverb says here that, you know what, you got to be prudent to give thought to your ways. The next question I want to put across, and before John says something, is, did you want to say something? Okay. He doesn't want to say anything. Is, when is the last time you gave thought to your ways? You've had this path over 10 years. You're a Christian. You're not living God. I understand that. But have you given thought to your ways? In your family, have you given thought to how you're dealing with your family, your children, your wife? As a single person, have you given thought to your ways? How effective have you been in your faith as a Christian? Have you given thought to your ways? The idea that I'm not living God is not the standard. Is we must give thought to our ways and say, how close am I to God? Not, I'm not asking you to give thought to your ways to feel guilty. Give thought to your ways to grow. To grow some old things. To grow the deceptions that we give ourselves. I have a quote here that says, self-deception determines how one experiences all aspects of life. That the lies you tell yourself, deception, determines all aspects of how you're going to experience and touch other people. And believe me, everybody has lies he tells themselves. And it's not so bad. It's never been like this. And I like to question myself. You know that prayer that says, God, examine me. That prayer. Examine me and find what's in my heart. David had that thing down. He says, you check me out, God, or you got to figure out who I am. Don't want deception stories going on. And we have deception stories that we tell. And we think that someone is out to get you. I'm not out to get you. I'm out to give you life. I'm preaching good news. I'm preaching life. I am not about to get anyone. That's not my agenda today. I'm about to say, you are holding yourself back, and God cannot walk with us when we're doing the same thing again and again and again. We've got to change a little bit here. Every Sunday we come and talk diversity of race. Then I say, so did you talk to anyone different from you this week as you reached out? Or maybe you're not just doing it. It's something that you've got to come up to. But we'll talk about it in a moment. It is how those deceptions actually affect us. I'm going to tell you a story about a German doctor in the mid-1800s. The government medical was running, and out of 10 women who gave birth in his department, one died. And where the midwives were working, out of 50, one was dying. And that was appalling standards. And so he thought, something is wrong. But as he kept looking at what was going on, they would go and study the women that were dying, and then without washing their hands, they would come and touch those that are well. But at that time, they couldn't figure what was going on. I can't pronounce his name. It's a long name, but you can go read out and figure out what was going on. So one day he said, okay, let me not treat people, and took some time off and went to see another hospital to see why was that hospital not getting the same disease. When he went there, he found out that they were not studying people like he was. So he standardized everything. He standardized laundry washing. He standardized how you're supposed to position everything before you give birth. And the disease kept going. But when he was away, the disease went down and the people were not dying as much. So he came back and said, okay, what's going on? He's one of the people that helped us find out germs and how germs affect human beings. And he said, oh, all along, I thought because I am the doctor, I should have been doing a good job. What I didn't know that I was touching the sick people, and without washing my hands, I was passing it on. And the midwives weren't doing the same, so that's why they were having less. Once that was done with, the whole place changed. The women stopped dying. Because now they figured, wash your hands in lime and all that, and everything changed. What's my point? Sometimes because the man in the mirror is not looking carefully about why the disease is passing on, things are not changing, and he's thinking something else. And you can standardize everything else, but the man in the mirror is not making changes. We've got to make changes. I got to make changes. But you've got to make changes as well. So that the place grows and God's name is glorified. Number one, material deception. Let's talk about material deception. The Bible says here in Hosea 10, 12 to 13, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. But you have planted wickedness, you have reaped evil, you have eaten the fruit of deception because you have depended on your own strength and on your own warriors. Hosea, we don't have the PowerPoint today, Hosea. So we're going to have to do a you'll have to ask me twice to repeat it if you're not getting it. Hosea 10, verse 12 to 13. Do we get it now? We're working. It's going to work. It's going to come good. It'll be okay. So, material deception. God was trying to reach out to them. They weren't paying attention. They were just not listening. It says, you plow your place. Come to me. Instead, he says what? But you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception. Telling yourself stories. And what happens? Because you have not depended on your own, because you have depended on your own strength and your own warriors, it's not working. What's my point? It's not wrong to have things. But here's what I have found. That we work so hard in school to get material. We leave school, we get material. And we think that that should be our secure point. There's nothing wrong with material. What's wrong with material is when it begins to be worshipped insidiously. And we do. We make that because I have X, Y, Z, I am set in life. No, you're set when you're connected with God. And because we're not connected with God, though we have so much going for us, we're so troubled. We're anxious. The more we have, the more we're anxious. And I think the church, as a group, we need to ask ourselves, is it possible that at some point we've lost our first love because material has deceived us? You know, there's a way comfort can get you out of the age of doing things for God. You just... And don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you to be poor. I'm asking you that don't let it make you dull. That's not what... Do you get the message? I'm not saying it's wrong to get it, but I'm saying that... But it can dull you. Material has a way of making you very dull. I've told this story, and I'll tell it again, that some people pray, God, give me a watch. Then God gives them the watch. And then instead of looking to God to tell them what time and where they should go, they keep looking at the watch and never going to God to show them what time it is. Do you get the story? That we don't go to God, we go to what he has given us. And that is how we become dull and we're deceived and we don't give of ourselves. Is it possible that you don't have time to study the Bible with anyone because you're too busy living your life? You go to work, you go home, you go to work, you go home, you watch TV, you cook a little, you sleep, you go to work, you go home, you go watch TV, you sleep a little bit, it's Sunday, I need time to just sleep. You sleep until 10, then by 8, because your body's tuned up to get going out, you're still in bed, a little slumber, and you're wondering, why am I not just, I don't get involved in things. Let's get a teacher for Kids Kingdom. We don't even jump to that. Let's get someone to help us do flowers. Nobody says, I'm here. You got to ask yourself, what is deceiving you? I'll share again. Once I had my nephews and my sister-in-law come to my house, I realized, oh my goodness, I can do way more than I thought. Because now, I had a very small space of operation, so I had to make it work. It's my bedroom. I make it happen. I get into the Bible. I read. I wake up, and I have to get going outside. And I figured, I wasn't like that before, but now I'm making it happen. I was getting deceived somewhere. The wake-up call. I mean, let's talk about that for a while. Are we really reading our Bibles? Do you enjoy reading your Bible? Or is it a newspaper now? Is it something? I got to hear God. What is he saying? Do you get in there? You want to check out this, check that out? We got to know God. You can't do it on the preacher's message. It doesn't work. You got to do it for you in the Word of God. But deception, that's what material has a way of deceiving you. And you don't fight. Because you feel, well, my account has reached this. Well, I've done this. And you don't strive for, what about the unseen, the spiritual battle we must do to win souls, to win our weaknesses, our struggles, to overcome our fears, all the things that we have to go to God in prayer and wrestle and not go to material. That is something we need to watch out. And Hosea was talking to the Israelites because they were losing that. They were going back to their very own self. He says to them here, you know what? Sow for yourself righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. But you have planted what? Wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception. Because you have depended on your own strength and on your own warrior. It is good to do all these things, but can I ask a question, a pertinent question? When it's all said and done, what are you really looking for in life? I've moved a lot in my life, and it's driven home the point that I cannot carry that stuff. I arrived here with 7 suitcases. I arrived in Zambia with everybody had 1 suitcase. In my late 40s. What are you going to do? You know, if I drop dead today, is it game over? No, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm giving you perspective. It's okay to take stuff, but you've got to give it the right place. God has to be higher than stuff. Then you will enjoy life. Then you begin to feel alive all over again and sacrifice. Say, you know, I want to do more. Why? Because it's about God. Our hearts dull and don't give the best when you really, it's all about achieving stuff. Two things define you. Your patience when you have nothing. In your attitude when you have everything. I've been in both ends of it. I grew up middle class. As I left home, I had nothing. And I've been where I'm like, this is stuff. And it teaches you a lot. It reveals your character. You can whine, get angry, upset. I'm a Christian. Why is all this happening to me? Or you may say, wow, God is enough. I remember eating 1 meal a day for 3 years. Because that was the price I was going to pay to be independent. I was not going to go back to my father's house. I said, I'm going to do this. Somewhere, I'm going to find a way. 1 meal a day for 3 years. Initially, I thought, how? I lost weight, but I was pretty happy. Pretty happy. You won't die. But that patience helped me. I learned a lot in those 3 years. And how you can get it done. Now I've had it all sometimes. I've had everything going. When you have everything going, that's when you know who you really are. Success. Do you become arrogant, indifferent, you don't care. You don't treat people with courtesy. What is the story there? Do you forget to even pray, to reach out to people about God? Because for you, it's all about comfort. What's going on there? I'm challenging all of us today to say, you know, we need to get back to this space where we're in love with God. We want to talk about God. It comes out of us. It is imbued in us. Secondly, maturity deception. Let me just do a quick census. How many of us have been a Christian 1 week? Oh, the 1 week is on the other side. No, 1 week, less than 1 week. Okay, let's do this. Let's go to the high end. How many have been Christian 50 years? 50? 50, 50. 40 years. Well, there we go. We got one. 45, 35. 30. 25. 20. 15. 10. 5. 2. All right. I ended at 2 because after 2, nobody's young. You're not spiritually young. We got to be moving. Anybody under 2, we say, okay, we're going to help those 2-year-olds first. But everybody after 2, we're all moving up front. Now, here's what I found for me, and I bear with me as we share about this. Being around the church for a long time, you see a lot of things. You see good, great stuff. The days you lived by faith, you did amazing things, and you sometimes it's, was that me? Well, God used you, even though you don't think it was you. And the days you did terrible, you were a dead man walking, you were ready to die, you were tired of it. But God kept you alive. And there are days you saw ugly stuff and you became cynical. You didn't trust nobody. I don't trust these leaders. I don't trust these people anymore. I don't trust disciples. But they say they're disciples. You go that direction. Now, you may not say that, but you think it. We say you're spiritual enough not to say it. Well, we say it sometimes. So get me right. Maturity is a good thing. It's a good thing in the Lord. But it can deceive you because you can stop walking on yourself. You may be around for too long that you don't walk on growing and refiguring what is God saying at this time for you in life. I'm in a stage where I'm just learning more about God. I'm like, well, this is awesome. We've got to do that again and again. You can't get to this place where you run simply on how mature you are as a Christian. And address the things that come up in your character. That is something that's going to always happen. I'm always working on my character. I see things about me, I'm like, how'd that happen? What do you think? Okay, let me just keep working on this. Does that make sense? Don't feel down that I'm a Christian, whatever he is, and I'm still working on this. It's the nature of getting to heaven. We work on stuff. So, Hosea 11, 1 through 3 says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. But the more I called to him, the farther he moved from me, offering sacrifices to images of Baal and burning incense to idols. I myself taught Israel how to walk, leading him along by the hand. But he doesn't know or even care that it was I who took care of him. So you start as a Christian in awe of God and what he's doing. And you're in love and you want to do stuff. How many of us miss your young days as a Christian? The first 2 years. Well, not everybody. But some of us do, right? Not everybody misses those days. And that's okay. But it is easy to come to a place where you take for granted your walk with God. I respect all of you that are here, by the way, and I appreciate your desire to keep doing what you're doing, but you know that can happen. So, mature deception. How does that happen to us? Any answers to this? Yes, Peter. Once I learned all the answers, I didn't have to talk to God anymore. Yes. Routine. I finally found my routine. I feel secure because routine is what holds me together, not God. I have a routine that makes me feel secure. And that's human beings. We do that. We take routines. We get lazy. We kind of cruise through regurgitated stuff. Stuff that we've known over the years. Now, it's okay to repeat that stuff, but get deeper into it. Yes, Karen. Sorry? Sometimes you don't see your need for people. I mean, you've been slogging out for a long time. What is the whole deal? So you don't see your need for people in relationships, and you can ignore relationships. And that people need you to share all the stuff you've been through. So we can get complacent, and yet we have a whole generation that we need to win. But we can get complacent because we've done our part sometimes. What about the whole generation behind us, our children, our children's children? We've got work to do. So you cannot just be complacent. You got to get busy trying to make get involved, make it happen. Yes, Alex. I'm saved now, I got control of my sinful nature. It can come right back. It'll jump right back if you didn't have God. It means nothing. We need to be staying right there. Yes. We can become unteachable and unwilling to listen to those that are younger than us. And yet the nature of things that at one point you're in the game, but the younger ones are helping you out as you go forward. So we got to have a symbiotic relationship going on there. Yes. We can get into the church culture, whatever it is, and forget about God. Yes, we want to have a good godly culture, but we cannot push that on. We got to be about God. Yes, Karen. We can become lukewarm, and the standard can be that I'm not falling away. Thank you. That's good. But what about connecting to God and saving some souls, getting involved in serving the poor, serving in the congregation, serving others? You know, Christ living, kind of. The sick, helping out with the sick, all that stuff that Jesus did. Getting involved in that stuff. And not just a routine that is all about your life, but you're really involved in. And what about one another relationships, having people in your home, hospitality, getting out there. There's a prayer coming up, going into that. You know, really getting involved and not just... And I know we can't do everything. You still need to be organized for your family and for your life. But you want to be connected to where that you are life. You're not just doing little stuff. Am I making sense? Maturity comes when you stop making excuses and start making changes. That's when what happens. When we stop making excuses and start making changes. Now, it's a process. There are days when you're not ready to deal with it, but eventually you'll have to deal with it. So initially you're making excuses, you're blaming the whole world. Remember the doctor that went and thought, what's the sickness, what's the sickness? Eventually figured he was passing it on. Sometimes you just got to change me. That's all. The hardest, I find that initially it was very hard for me to accept that I made a mistake. But the more I figured when I accept that, I'm more free. I love the idea to say, you know, if it's true, I need to accept and know what I need to do different. It changes you. When I say changes you inside, not just the activity of change, inside you see, you know, this needs to be done different. When you can connect and confess that this is not what God wants me to be doing, change happens. Let's talk about societal deception. Society, the society we live in can deceive you. Okay? Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife full of knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Why would you have your money and not say, and tell people, give them an impression that this is the truth, but that's not the truth? Why do we do that? Yes, Maya. Sorry? To elevate yourself. So you start playing, I need to be up on this society, I need to get there. So you start to elevate yourself. Society does that to you. Because you're not good enough of yourself. So you got to just do something to elevate yourself. What else? Why do you think they got to that position? Yes. Instead of checking your heart, you're checking the box. So you start playing games. You become political. In the game, instead of, what is God's heart in this? No, it's not. Just check the box. Check the box. What else? Yes, Peter.
The comment made earlier about tying in with the church culture instead of God.
Yeah.
They were surrounded by people who were giving generously and supporting the church. Hey, we can be part of that. But, so, you know, it's a question of looking like you're part of the church culture instead of treating this as a gift of God.
Looking like you're part of the church culture instead of seeing that this is a gift of God. You don't want to just be a part of something, but to really think that this is a gift of God, and I want to appreciate it as I go forward. Yes, Karen. They didn't deal with the sin in their hearts. It's easy not to deal with the sin in your heart, because society has a way of making sure that you play the game. So it just becomes another game of surviving the kingdom. Not, what is the sin in my heart? What needs to be different? Is it envy? Is it whatever? Yes, Karen, then I'm coming. You don't have relationships, you're going to go to the standards of the world. A lack of trust in God. I have to take care of myself, and this people won't take care of me. You're going to trust God. And if you trust God, you're going to trust relationships in the kingdom and walk through things. Now, we may make mistakes, but because you trust God, you'll walk through stuff. Does that make sense? The idea that it's going to be perfect, it's not true. It's not true. And you've got to let go of that fact and grow and start dealing with the imperfections of it. That's when we grow. Does that make sense? When we start being perfect, we guard ourselves and we can't deal with this stuff. Any other? We can lose sight of why we became Christians. The cross can leave our sight. We can lose sight of why we're Christians. And so we're deceived by just society and trying to play society. And we live in a Bible Belt. And very many people go to church. But their life says nothing about God. And we can think that that's the standard. The standard is God's Word. So don't get caught up with that. And they say they go to church. And we just go to church. No, we got to come back to what God is saying. And that's how it works. The Bible Belt has to work well. Don't worry about that stuff. We're okay. Yeah. It's too late in the game now. We're about to finish. Yeah. Make sense about societal deception? It's going to come down, but and then it's okay. So, it's angry with me for some reason. So the point I'm trying to put across is that what you must know, I was talking to Mike the other day and he was telling me he was in Zambia and how that culture is strong. And I said, that's true. Cultures come in the church. Cultures come in the church. We want to build a diverse congregation. We don't want the cultures of the world to come in the church and how we see each other. Black, white, Hispanic. We don't want those cultures to come in the church. We've got to be the light. Does that make sense? And not play that politics of it so that people come and say, this is different. Does that make sense? Yep. We've got to understand that cultures come in the church. It's the objective of being with Christ is that you can take the world and say that we're different. But can I tell you this? Sometimes we're not as different. So we have to make those changes now to bring that difference. Sometimes we're not as different. So then we have to make change starts with me. Instead of complaining we're not any different, change starts with me. And then the change begins to happen. Does that make sense? We are blaming society, yet we are society. So to make it a better place, we must change ourselves first. We can't keep pointing fingers around. We got to walk on us. It's amazing when you do that. You see God. You become righteous. You find that it's easy to talk about God. But when you're not doing that, you're trying to fit in society. You're trying to be like them. You're trying to do everything they do. You will not help anyone to come to Christ if you're trying to be like them. Now, I'm not asking you to go and be opposite and show them, I'm not like you. That's not the point. Just be godly and help them to know God. In finishing, antidote of deception is God. The antidote of deception is God. You want to overcome deception, you have to go to God. God will help you overcome all the deceptions we carry as human beings. Hosea 11, verse 1 to 3. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Is that the same scripture? I'll read it again. No problem. And I called my son out of Egypt. But the more I called to him, the farther he moved from me, offering sacrifice to the images of Baal and burning incense to idols. I myself taught Israel how to walk. So here's what happens. When they're with God, they would learn how to walk. And he would teach them things. But the more they moved away from him, they began doing different things. The antidote of being right with God, if changing anything, is come close to God. It anchors you. It holds you down. If you've ever seen a boat in the ocean, if the anchor is tight, it doesn't go too far. If the anchor is not tight, it keeps moving quite a distance, but it's still on the anchor. The anchor is still down, but it's moving some distance. But if you want to hold it close, drop it pretty close, and it'll hold right there. So maybe your boat has been bouncing lately. Though it's anchored on God, but your boat has been bouncing farther out into the world, one leg in the world, one leg in. And you may say, no, I'm not that bad. Well, that's deception. That's part of the story you tell. You've got to come back and anchor yourself to God. What that does, it does two things. One, you start to experience a rejuvenation spiritually, and you have fun with it. Second, you start to find yourself, because when you anchored far, you don't know what God is saying, but as the more you know God, the more you start finding yourself. The more you find yourself, the more you find that you want to give of yourself to be used by God. That's how it functions. But we cannot change the world. We can change ourselves. As we change, as God walks through us, the world wants to know, what is it that you're drinking that is making you so joyful? What is it that you're drinking that makes you so serving? What is it that you're drinking that makes you so caring? What is it that makes you so patient? That is the stuff. You know, I've had eye trouble for a while. So eventually I said, you know, I need to stop deceiving myself that I can see things properly and go and see an eye doctor. For a long time, I'd keep saying, you know, I still can see stuff. Until I started reading stuff and I said, I'm not seeing properly. I'm jumping things as I'm reading. And I went to the ophthalmologist. He said, you can get it back in 7-10 days. I went back the second time. They talked to me and they said, come back a few times. The next time I went was a month later. And this time, the manager came out. And the one, he wasn't being very good. He was saying, I can give the money back to you, but I can work hard and get it to you. It was as a matter of fact. And right there, I was tempted to say, why would you talk to me like that? Right there. And the willing of, I should say something. They're taking me for granted. Then I said, you know what? Entrust yourself to Christ. I calmed down. I held my mouth like this for a while. And I said, okay. So what happens is, okay. And he saw it go down. He's just having a conversation. Said, you can come back, and when you come back, let me help you with whatever you need after that. And I thought to myself, when I go back, I'm going to reach out to him and tell him about God, because I was about to blow that opportunity. I said, that is what I'll do. And I said, what you can do for me is, can you come to church someday and see what we talk about? But the battle was on. I was feeling it. I was about to say, why should you take 1 month to get this thing in place? And I said, you know what? Let me get the man and come to see God. That's a better place. The antidote of anger is God. I was feeling it, but I say, got to pray about this stuff. The antidote of anything you go through is God. It's in the Bible. You got to just go look. Whatever you're going through, go read about it, and you'll find that you'll come to a place of peace. God bless you. Amen. We are free.